Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, and we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Please listen to us any way you get your podcast. Like, subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Give us a like. Give us a share. Take one of our posts. Share it with your friends. Get us out there. Guys, conference tournaments have started. 13 teams have already punched their ticket to the big dance. NFL free agency has taken over the sports world the last 2 days. There's people going everywhere. And we're going to touch on some news around the world of sports right now. Give us a listen. Darren, let's start it up with some college hoops.
Okay, this is the first day of the major college tournament starting up. Okay, major conference is underway. And you look, and not a lot of things were done today, but some teams survived the day. Wake Forest survived the day. They had a double-digit win against Notre Dame. They have to win that game. They lose that game. They're out. They win it. Now they play Pittsburgh in what could become the ever-so-famous lose-or-leave-town match. We don't know, but it could become that. TCU, Oklahoma. We both, I think, Kev, had them safe. But TCU wins that game not by single digits because Oklahoma closed the gap late. That was a 12-14-point game most of the way. Think both of them are still safe, Kev?
I think they're both still safe. I mean, obviously, TCU with the win just make sure that they are definitely, well, at worst, 10. Mm-hmm. At worst, I think, at this point. Oklahoma, I think, is still going to be right around that 11 line. You know, maybe falling into that, I think, last four by type of scenario. But that the Big 12 is just too strong. And this was not a bad loss for Oklahoma.
No, it wasn't. I mean, and the fact that they closed the gap to lose by 7, that game was trending 12, 14, 16 for a little while. If that game got to 20, then you have to look at it because they got beat by 14 against Texas. Closed the gap to 7, 21 seconds to go. They don't foul. They want to lose the game by 7, so it's a legitimately closer loss. That's what the net brings us, guys.
Keep it respectable.
We're not playing to win. We're playing to lose close. That's where we are. Colorado State, early scare from San Jose State, but wins by 10. I think just a game they had to win, and they did. I don't think anything special there.
That was a team I think we were talking, you know, that was probably maybe right around that last four-in type of thing that you don't want to lose to San Jose State and put that on the resume right before the selection.
That could hurt you. Same thing with New Mexico in their Air Force game today.
Exactly the same scenario with Mountain West.
Did not. So that Providence wins the game they have to win against Georgetown.
So, exactly. Stay alive another day.
So the only one where a little damage was done by a team probably on the outside looking in was Kansas State. Kansas State just defeated Texas. Now, Texas, I still think is squarely in based on what they've done during the season. They're a good squad. Kansas State probably has to have one more, which would mean they would have to beat Iowa State in order to get in my opinion. I think if they get the one more, everybody's rooting against Kansas State right now. Feel-good story last year, kind of. Nobody wants them in this year because they're going to take a seed from somebody. I don't think they get it without the win, though. G, same thoughts?
If they do somehow find a way to beat Iowa State, do they take Oklahoma's spot?
It could be. It could really be, G. It could like, be that they don't want to put 10 in from the conference. I don't know.
That was kind of the way I looked at it. Once TCU secured that win today over Oklahoma and Kansas City, which we just saw just beat Texas, if Kansas City gets that win, and it'll be a good win, if they get another win against Iowa State, this becomes a good, really good win for them. Do they take that spot? It could be. That could be the one for me. So we'll see.
It gets them to 20 wins. It gets them with 10 wins in conference. And it gets them at worst at 10-11 when it's all done, while Oklahoma finishes 8-11. So that's the little bit of a difference right there.
I think you have the chance of there not taking the 10th team. I think you got to look at the American Conference, depending on what happens with USF, for example. Mountain West, you know, you mentioned the two teams that were probably close, Colorado State and New Mexico. They both win. They're looking good.
Indiana State.
Indiana State, I mean, we're all rooting for them to get in. Who knows what they're going
to
do. Listen,
you look at Indiana State and you just go by the whole season. They were picked sixth to start the season in that league. They were not the favorite. Bradley was the favorite, actually. Drake was second. But Indiana State was a mid-pack team that with a brand-new coach, a second-year guy from D2. And, you know, you want to see them get rewarded. But it could take a fifth spot. It could take a spot if Virginia loses to Clemson. There's a lot of little things that could happen tomorrow where a team could fall out that way.
Another team tomorrow, Mississippi State.
Could lose to LSU, and I think they would be in trouble.
So there's plenty of teams that you can knock out if Kansas State pulls off the win tomorrow against Iowa State.
Yep, I agree with you. And basically tonight we have BC Clemson. I think Clemson's safe, but you don't want to lose to BC before you go in.
Yep.
You got Villanova, DePaul. You know, Nova has to win this. They lose this game, they're done. You can't put them in. And UCF is the one team that was on the outside looking in that just blew their chance earlier. Same thing with Cincinnati against Kansas tonight. Kansas playing without two starters, without McCullough and without Dickerson. Give Cincinnati a shot, maybe to rejuvenate themselves to get into the next four out, maybe even to the last four out. So they're not done yet either. So there's a lot of a lot of things still to go. Kev?
Yeah, I think if they get the win against Kansas without the two big guys, of course, it's not quite as big a win, but you're still beating Kansas. Yep. But it still sets up Cincinnati to then have another crack at, I don't know who the bracket sets up for, but they'd have a chance to knock off another.
Cincinnati would have a chance to play Baylor.
Okay. And that's
so it would be the 11-3 match instead of the 6-3 match they draw up. But again, trying to beat Kansas in Kansas City, never easy. So we'll see what happens there. Tomorrow's slate. I'm sorry, Kev, go ahead.
And one more game tonight, I think. You know, again, a team that we both have outside, but who desperately needs to string together a few wins here, I think, is Utah and Arizona State. We all have Utah out, I think, at this point.
Yep.
But again, they're a team that they have to beat Arizona State tonight, gives themselves a chance to play some of the top teams in the Pac-12 and maybe string together a couple wins here.
My biggest problem with Utah is that this is a sub-500 team in the Pac-12. And I know that their numbers and their metrics look good, but this is a 7-9 or what was it, 8-10, whatever it was. They were below 500 in the Pac-12. I don't get it. But
and I haven't been on Utah all year either.
You know,
I've looked at them going, people have had them on the bubble or maybe even in, and I'm like, what? Utah?
I mean, I've been on Colorado for about a month, but Utah not there. So tomorrow's big games we know about, Minnesota, Michigan State. I think Michigan State needs to win it to feel good about it. And this tournament, for the first time in a long time, is not in Chicago. This tournament's in Minnesota. They're playing at the Target Center. So that's a little bit different there. Mississippi State, you mentioned before, right? I think they need to beat LSU.
They have to. I mean, they've lost four in a row down the stretch here to close the season. A fifth straight loss, especially to a weaker team in LSU. That's not good.
No, that would knock them out, in my opinion.
Yep.
St. John's Seton Hall, the local flavor. This is another one that should be probably a lose or leave town match.
I would agree with that.
Winner, I think, has got to feel pretty safe. Loser, I think, still has a chance. But again, you're leaving yourself up for, you know, the committee deciding, are you the last team in, first team out type of scenario.
Yeah, they're going to be right on that bubble if you lose tomorrow, whichever team loses tomorrow night. So.
So now, if Villanova beats DePaul tonight, which you expect, but you don't know, DePaul's 3-28, which is why you expect it. Doesn't mean it'll happen. Yeah. And Providence already won their game against Georgetown, so they play against Marquette and Creighton. I think both teams need the win to keep going. I don't think either one gets in without a win tomorrow. So the Big East has four quarterfinals tomorrow, three of which are just tremendously important games. Important.
Agreed.
San Diego State, UNLV. If UNLV wants to have the glimmer, they have to win tomorrow.
Yep.
I don't have anybody else on the Mountain West on the bubble right now. A lot of people, I'm reading New Mexico and last four ins with the experts around the other sites. I have them a little safer than that, but I think New Mexico, for their own safety, probably would love to steal one more if they could.
I think we said it before, avoiding the loss today that Air Force was enough for me.
Me too.
I think so too. I'm just saying what we're reading, but yeah, I get it. Ohio State, Iowa. This is like two teams that are on the outside looking in, and the loser's out, right? I mean, I think it's fair to say the winner needs another one, at least, maybe two. The loser's out.
I agree.
The loser's out. The winner goes to play Illinois.
Yeah, and they have to win that game.
A big chance to get a key win late here.
Absolutely. And then the other one, Ole Miss and Texas A&M. Texas A&M needs this one plus at least one other, I think, in order to get in. Yep. So they blew out Ole Miss over the weekend in Mississippi. So this will be more of a neutral site kind of game. And you'd think Texas A&M is just playing better right now. Were there any other games for tomorrow that you're looking at, Kev?
Again, just to mention the Pac-12 again, Utah, Colorado.
Yeah,
I'm in the same boat as you. I'm pretty in on Colorado being in pretty safe right now. Utah needs this one and maybe even one more.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
And that's an important one. And the ACC, Wake Forest, Pitt.
Yeah, that's the loser leave town. That's the first one we mentioned. That's important.
You did mention? Okay, I missed that
one. No, that's where we kicked it when we started. Okay. That's okay. It's fine. Yep. Because if, as you can see by my sweatshirt, I'm all for Wake. And yes, so that would be one of my teams that I do follow.
Big 12. I mean, I know we mentioned them a little bit from the games today. It's Kansas State, Iowa State. K-State needs the win, and Cincy Baylor. Cincy needs the win. So,
yep. If Cincy wins tonight, they need it for tomorrow. Gee,
I think a Virginia win tomorrow gets them in. I think winning in for Virginia. The other one is, I think if Memphis gets a win tomorrow, they put themselves right back on the bubble line again. They lose tomorrow, I think they're done.
I think they got a little bit of work to do. I don't know if that conference gets three.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying I think the win keeps them on the bubble. The loss, they're done.
I have them done right now. They would really need to win probably at least two, I think.
I think they have to get to the final for me to have them back in mind, but I get what you're saying, G. This is a good offensive team, Memphis, and they have a lot of talent. They just don't seem to put it all together. Title games from today, just to get through these. The Southland, congratulations to the Cowboys of McNeese State. They were picked third in this league to start the season, but ran away with it, and they ran away with tonight's game. Didn't watch them a lot this year, maybe the third time I've seen parts of their games. Not a very big team, but they are very aggressive. This is a 12 that's going to bother somebody in the 5 line, in my opinion. I don't think anybody wants to play McNeese just because they know they'll be in a dogfight. Colgate, probably a 15 or a 16, but the way it's been going with the leagues, it'll probably move up to a 15 because at least they were the best team in their conference while a lot of lower seeds have fallen out. The Raiders rolled over Lehigh. That was never a game. I tried to make it a game by watching it, but there was nothing really to watch there. And then tonight we got the Big Sky, the Battle of Montana. So this league, the 1 and the 2 both losing the quarterfinals to the 10 and the 8 respectively. You don't expect that. And, Sacramento State gave Montana State all they could handle last night. Montana held on, beat Idaho State. All the favorite teams, Weber got knocked out. Montana was the only seed in the top half. They're the 3. Montana State was the 5. They're the defending champ from this league. But that's someone's going to go from the Big Sky, and ESPN did a really nice job of putting this at 11:30 on a Wednesday, which is going to get a real, really big rating. But the funny thing about it was they'll put the semifinal games on the deuce on the U, I should say, at like 9, but then they do the championship game at 11:30. The Big Sky's got to be smarter than this. Pick a different day. Do it a week early. You know, you're killing yourselves. Nobody's going to watch your championship. It's so freaking stupid. Anything else to cover on those title games? I'm just going to run down the 13. Yeah, what's up?
In the 13 is the Northeast champion. Congratulations to Wagner, our Staten Island compadres.
Absolutely. The Wagner Seahawks, who were picked 5th in their league, ended up finding a way to win it. Wagner, one of the best defensive teams in the country. I think they're like 7th overall in points allowed. Really good. Merrimack did a great job of hitting 10 threes last night. Unfortunately, they missed 31. You can't go 10 for 41 from 3 and win a lot of games. They just kept hoisting them and hoisting them. So these are the teams that we know of. The Atlantic Sun, the A-Sun has the Stetson Hatters. The Big South has the Longwood Lancers. Missouri Valley, the Drake Bulldogs. The Ohio Valley, the Moorhead State Eagles. The Sun Belt, the James Madison Dukes. The Southern, the Samford Bulldogs. The Summit, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. The West Coast Conference, St. Mary's, who looked very impressive in their game against Gonzaga. Mahaney, who had struggled in every game I'd seen him against Gonzaga so far, played very well last night. Very much into that game. The game I was glued to because of localism, the Coastal, Charleston in overtime against a very beleaguered, Stony Brook squad who just kept fighting and shooting and stuff like that, turning the ball over, horrible shot selection, bad passes, but they find a way to hit a big three and get back in it every time. It looked like they would fall apart. Really proud of the boys' effort. Second year in the Coastal, they made it to the final, but the superior team was Charleston all year. It's always better when the top seeds get in because they have a better chance of making a better tournament game when that once they are in the bracket of 68. The Horizon, the Oakland Grizzlies, they got that kid, Rohidi, however you pronounce his name, Robicki, who's hit 300, taken 304 threes and 7 twos on the season. You can't make this crap up. This kid shoots from every angle. He was a D2 transfer, averaged 14 points a game in D2. Came in here, the kid just shoots. He took 7 twos and over 300 threes. I mean, I've never seen any stat like it. It blew me away. But the Oakland Grizzlies and Kempe, who's been there forever as the coach, advance again. You mentioned Wagner, and we mentioned the other two. So that's what I have right now, G.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think looking at those winners, to me, especially James Madison, Sanford, McNeese, the teams that were having really good years, who if they lost, it would be a shame not for them not to go to the tournament. But I'm really happy that they all won their conference tournaments or going in. And like I said, the other one seeds, the South Dakota States, the Charlestons, the Oakland, etc. Like I said, these are going to be the 14, 13 type seeds that are going to give a 3 or 4 a real battle.
I agree. I mean, last year, again, we saw the 16 over the 1 last year with Fairleigh. That was pretty amazing. You don't expect that to happen every year. It's happened twice in the history. So you don't expect the 16s and the 15s to do much. But last year, 15 Princeton knocked off Arizona. So, and then they beat Missouri in the next round.
But it sets up, possibilities. These are good teams coming out of these smaller conferences by getting the 1 seeds. And really, by some of these other teams winning, like I mentioned, it leaves it more open for Indiana State to get a real close look to be among those last teams in and be the one bid stealer from one of these mid-majors.
If you can't tell, we're all rooting for Indiana State.
they're the one.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And we'll know a little bit more tomorrow. We'll post it on Facebook about what our thoughts are as these conference tournaments go on. But it's big stuff right now. But I think that's we did a whole show dedicated to it a couple nights ago. So we're going to go around the league with everything else after this point. Go ahead, G.
All right, so we're going to move over to the NFL. They've kind of dominated the headlines the last couple of days. Over 100 different moves were made. This is the kind of deadline trade and free agent signing period that I think we'd like for all sports, where it's just bang, 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 and everybody's getting everything done. We'll start locally. We'll start with Jets and Giants, and then we'll move on to some other big moves. Kev, you want to tell us what the Jets have done so far? Darren?
The Jets' big moves so far is they got a backup quarterback that we didn't have last year in Tyrod Taylor, as he's pronounced, which you feel pretty good about. They've also, after sitting there the first 7 hours where the Jets didn't do anything but re-sign Zerline, and you're like, all these offensive linemen are coming off the damn board, and you're just like, what is Joe doing? In the last 2 days, he's found a way to get Simpson, the guard from Baltimore, and he found a way to trade today for Morgan Moses, a former Jet from 2 years ago, the right tackle from Baltimore. So what we've done now is we've solidified a little bit on that O-line, which is so important for this team. Simpson grades better as a run blocker than a pass blocker. Morgan Moses was pretty good at both, but again, a very formidable run blocker. Kev?
With Simpson, I know what you said about the pass block grades, but how much of some of his pass blocking weakness is attributed to the fact that Lamar Jackson doesn't stay in the pocket?
Well, the funniest part about
to some of the extra sacks.
Yeah, well, actually, he only gave up two sacks. He actually didn't give up a lot of sacks. They grade him that based on the way that they're looking at the way he positions himself, because he only gave up two sacks because Lamar doesn't take a lot of sacks. So he only had two sacks and three penalties. So it wasn't like he had like a bad year in that. They're just okay. The way PFF kind of looks at this type of stuff, they grade him as more of a road grader type of run blocker, which again, we have a 39, 40-year-old quarterback, whatever he is, that's running for vice president, apparently, whatever's going on there with the political aspirations of him and RFK.
I was gonna say, do we have to go draft a quarterback now too, in case our quarterback decides to run for VP?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was his decision or if it was RFK's decision to put him on a short list, but also on that short list, so everybody knows, Jesse Ventura,
yes,
Tony Robbins. You know, there's a few people you don't expect to be vice presidential material. Not that we have vice presidential material at this point in time, but that's a story for another day. But at the same point as we go through it, so they do have to run the ball and set up the pass. We still need another receiver, another weapon for him, I believe. But on offense, if we draft the left tackle or sign a legitimate left tackle to play, Bakhtiari's probably got a shot of coming here. But you can't count on him. You count on him as a guy that could split time because he's played 13 games in 3 years. When he plays, he's excellent. You just don't know if he's going to play. So, you know, listen, at least we're getting a little depth on the O-line. They re-signed the punter and the kicker, Kev. They were the two best players on the team last year, so not a bad thing. Either.
To me, at least getting the two linemen, plus you've got AVT and Tippmann coming back. It sets it up where if one of those tackles are there at 10, you take the tackle. But it sets it up where you don't have to reach in case a top one somehow come off the board and you're sitting there looking at maybe your fourth choice, who may be a little bit lower.
Yep.
It gives you a little bit of wiggle room to maybe drop down a couple of spots too now.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. Because the Morgan Moses trade, you lose a sixth rounder, so you lose that as well.
Yep.
I'm sorry, G. What was that?
What else did the Jets do?
Really nothing. I mean, we signed the punter, the kicker. We upgraded the old line. We got Oliver at corner. That kind of helped out as a little bit of depth. And Tyrod Taylor. And those are really the major moves that we've done.
And Javon Kinlaw today.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was yesterday, too. Kinlaw, another defensive tackle. You know, listen, he was a first-round pick. He definitely has talent. He's going to help rotationally. And they also got the kid out of Arizona as well. They picked up another run-stopping defensive tackle as well, which they needed. They were not great against the run. They need someone that can play off Quinnen, that can stop the run, and that should help them out.
And from their roster, the only player of note that they lost in this was Bryce Huff.
Yeah, and you know what? I know a lot of Jet fans are very bummed out about this. And listen, I like Bryce Huff too, but we went out of our way to draft, McDonald last year. Jermaine the year before that, along with Clemens. You paid Franklin Myers, you know, so you have four defensive ends on this squad already. I don't know how many defensive ends that you really need. If you're going to draft McDonald that high, it was because you thought you were going to lose Huff to pay $21 million or whatever he got. He got $51 million. So it was $17 a year for 3 years. It was probably a little rich for what we needed to do with Huff, for a guy that didn't even play 50% of the snaps. But he does get pressure on the edge. Seems like the Eagles have more money than anybody right now, and they're spending it, and they're showing it.
Okay, the Giants. So they wound up losing Tyrod Taylor. We mentioned that. They lost Barkley. They lost Xavier McKinney and Deshaun Robinson. Those were their four big losses. They made a trade. They brought in Brian Burns. So that's
a huge get for them. It's a huge get.
Huge.
What a trade. Only giving up a second and what, a swap of fives?
Yep.
Yep. And last year in October, Carolina was offered 2 ones and a three and turned it down. And instead, they settled for a two and a five, a swap of fives. So, I mean, really shrewd.
Well, this is the team that drafted Bryce Young. Over Stroud.
Listen, the Giants also
traded away DJ Moore plus a one to the Bears, and you know this is a team that's just not making any right moves at this point.
No. I mean, the Giants did sign Drew Lock to be the new backup QB, or actually, if Jones isn't ready, he'll start. Devin Singletary comes in for this team to replace Saquon. Isaiah McKenzie comes in to replace Hodgins, who they released today out of from Buffalo. They added two linemen. They added Runyon, and they added Illuminor. So they added a tackle and a guard. The Giants, like the Jets, needed as much help. Like the Washington Commanders, three teams that we'll follow here locally, all needed help on the O-line. Giants went out and did what they had to do. The best thing I can say about Runyon is that his father was awesome, and he's pretty good because he's not great, but he's pretty good, and he plays every game. Last three seasons, he hasn't missed a game, so there's something to be said for that.
I think for the Giants, that's one of those really good moves, getting Locke. It gives them a guy who was a first-rounder a couple years ago, looked good a couple starts that he made last year for Seattle. Gives him protection for Jones, who none of us have big on. Daniel Jones got all this money off a season where he threw about 15 touchdown passes.
No doubt about it.
And really, the Giants could be looking at day two, day three type draft a quarterback. Get him into the building, see what you got. And, you know you've got the guy sitting developing who's going to be behind Locke, behind Jones, but if these two guys don't work out, maybe you've got your quarterback looking ahead to next year.
For
2025.
For the Giants, I think the bigger thing is, I think the fans are more upset that Barkley isn't here than anything else, because that's what I've heard a couple of different people. But I think that's more of a fit, because he's more of a fan favorite with those guys than anything else.
And he went to Philly. He went to the biggest rival that's right down the turnpike. You live in the state that's split, G. Your state in the northern part of the state's Giants with some Jets. Southern part of the state is Eagles with some Jets. I mean, that's just the kind of the way it works down there. And unfortunately, the Giant fans are upset that Saquon left. Stop it. You know what? The organizations don't care when they cut these guys. The players have to go for the most amount of money. The Giants were willing to offer, maybe $10 million, $11 million. He got $15 million with the bonuses if everything goes through with Philly. He's been injury prone. The Giants have lost with Saquon. I like Saquon as a player. I'd like him on my team. I like Breece Hall a lot. I'm not trying to say I want to replace him. I just don't understand. I know it's just a hate. I think it's more of a hatred of Philly than anything else, Jay.
I agree. And, it's not for anything, but Barkley basically did everything he could to try to stay over the last 2 years. So
He wanted to be here. It just didn't work out.
Before we go around the NFL, let me just give you my Washington team. So they had the most cap space of any team in the NFL. They wound up signing 12 different players. We lost Brissett as our backup quarterback, but we brought in Mariota. We lost Antonio Gibson, but we brought in Eckler. So that kind of, for me, I'm good with that. And then it's just a slew of players. I mean, they basically decided they were going to use all their cap space that they had set, that wasn't being used. Quinn brought in two guys from Dallas, the center Tyler Buttas and the defensive end Dorrance Armstrong. Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chin. I mean, they brought in a slew of guys all over the place. Hopefully they get better from this. I would assume that the obvious addition to this is going to be with the number two pick, a quarterback to bring in here. So hopefully that at least makes us fairly competitive this season. So
yeah, you signed Zach Ertz. You took Allegretti also from the Chiefs to play guard. So, the Washington made moves. Jeremy Chin, I think, is a sleeper kind of player. I think he's a good hitter. I think he can certainly help the defense.
Yeah.
Was Louvu undrafted also?
Yeah, he was another undrafted Jet. He was a late-round pick or undrafted out of Washington State.
But it's amazing. Huff and Louvu, two guys that got nice contracts.
Yeah.
Two Huff ex-Jets. And Louvu, nice.
Were both well sought out after the draft was done, I believe.
Yes, they were.
All right, so I'll go through some of the moves that were made. If you guys want to jump in, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to go through the bigger ones or the more impactful players. Obviously, one of the biggest ones on the list is Kirk Cousins signing with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not sure this is the best move for Atlanta, by the way. It's better than what they had, but, it's not like Cousins is this young guy. I mean, he's 35. I mean, you know, who the hell knows what you're going to get out of him? So,
Kev? Well, if Cousins plays last year, the Falcons win the division by two games, Jay.
As long as he's healthy, that division is there for the Falcons. I mean, look at that talent on offense.
And
on defense.
And on defense, yeah. But especially in that offense, any decent quarterback play, they win that division last year. I don't see the division being all that much better this year, so I think it's a great move for Atlanta short term.
All right. Chris Jones and Snead re-signed with the Chiefs.
Snead could still be dealt, by the way. I mean, they're still talking about he might get dealt. But Jones is here for life.
Danielle Hunter signed with Houston, the Texans.
They actually traded defensive ends because Minnesota got Houston's defensive end and vice versa. One for 49 million, the other one, I think, for like 32. So a big difference in price, but yeah.
Defensive lineman Christian Wilkins goes from Miami to Oakland, to Las Vegas, by the way.
Huge move for Vegas. Bad. I think he was the heart and soul of the defense for Miami.
Calvin Ridley signs with Tennessee.
Big contract today. Yep.
Robert Hunt goes to Carolina. Dolphins lost a lot of players, man.
So did the Bills.
They were so far over the cap. Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay. Patrick Queen goes to the Steelers from the Ravens. Leonard Floyd goes to San Francisco. Levante David stays in Tampa Bay, one of the few that actually stayed with the team instead of moving. Willie Gay goes from the Chiefs to the Saints. Trying to just go through this real quick. Derrick Henry has a new home. He's in
Baltimore.
He's in Baltimore, yep. Real nice pickup for Baltimore.
Absolutely. Tony Pollard goes to Tennessee from Dallas.
Yep.
Denver traded Jerry Jeudy to Cleveland. Pittsburgh traded Deontay Johnson to Carolina.
And they got back Dante Jackson. Deontay Johnson.
And Pittsburgh signed Russ.
Yep. Russell Wilson. A steal.
Yep. Cincinnati traded Mixon to Houston. The Patriots finally got rid of Daniel Jones, sent it to Jacksonville. DeAndre Swift goes to Chicago.
Yeah.
Eckler to Washington. Let's see. Anything else you guys want to mention?
Just to go through a couple of teams real quick. So Buffalo signs Trubisky to be the backup. That was funny. Deion Dawkins re-signs there, and they keep Epinesa as well and Saquon Jones. So they kept their guys. Ted Taylor Rapp, but they lost a bunch of others. They kept a few. Miami went out and got Shaq Barrett. I thought that was a pretty good pass-rushing thing to go along with Chubb and depending on everybody's health on the Phillips on the outside. But they did lose the heart and soul in the middle. They also got Robert Jones, the offensive guard, and a tackle, and they got Aaron Brewer back. They signed Jordan Brooks and Jordan Poyer from the Bills. So that was a big move for the Dolphins. The Pats got Antonio Gibson, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper. They kept Mike on Wainu. We talked about the Jets. Cincinnati got Zach Moss to replace Mixon at running back. T. Higgins requested a trade. So we'll see what happens there. They also signed Mike Gesicki and Geno Stone. Cleveland brought Jameson to be the backup or start or whatever. Colts tonight brought in Flacco. Cleveland also re-signed Za'Darius Smith. Houston, we mentioned a few of the moves, but they also re-signed Dalton Schultz, and they signed Jeff Okuda, so that should help them. Indy signed Michael Pittman to a big contract. Kept Zaire Franklin, kept Kenny Moore. The Mac Jones, you talked about Gabe Davis also went to Jacksonville. Ezra Cleveland also went to Jacksonville. Mitch Morse also went to Jacksonville. So they did a bunch of things there. Chidobe Awuzie ended up in Tennessee, the cornerback. You know, Will Lutz stayed in Denver, if that means anything. Kansas City got Irv Smith, and they kept Drew Tranquil, we talked about. Vegas signed Gardner Minshew to be their backup. They also, Christian Wilkins' move was big. The Chargers showing what kind of identity they're going to have on the Harbaugh released Williams today, signed Gus Edwards and Will Disley, who's probably the best blocking tight end that was available. So they're going to be pounding the ball over in Charger land, a little different than what we've seen under the previous regime. Dallas hasn't done a goddamn thing. Philly paid Landon Dickerson a ton of money, brought in Huff and Barkley from the Jets and the Giants, and brought in Chauncey Gardner back, Gardner-Johnson. You know, we talked about Washington. Chicago brought in Gerald Everett, and then Jalen Johnson was franchised and talked about his sex addiction problem, which seems really like to be a major problem.
And speaking of Chicago, they still haven't done anything with Fields.
Not a thing.
Question coming to the draft is going to be if they're actually drafting a quarterback or not.
Yeah, exactly. Detroit re-signed Glasgow on the O-line, brought in Marcus Davenport, and made a trade for Carlton Davis from Tampa. So they brought in a corner to play there. Green Bay, we talked about the two moves with Jacobs and McKinney. Minnesota brought in Sam Darnold to have a shot to start again. So that's kind of interesting. And they brought in Aaron Jones, and we mentioned Grenard, who's the guy they got from Houston. And they brought in Van Ginkle. And they brought in Blake Cashman. They paid another Jet that they paid another a lot of money.
To. Wow.
You know, so they did it all. Atlanta brought in Cousins with Mooney. So they brought in another receiver for him, another weapon. You talked about Carolina, but they also added Josie Jewell and A'shaun Robinson, two pretty big-time starters for them. Tampa paid a lot of money to Baker and a lot of money to Mike Evans. And they kept Antoine Winfield and Levante David. So they did a lot as well. Arizona didn't do much. Sean Murphy Bunting, probably the biggest re-sign. Rams signed Colby Parkinson because Higbee had that brutal injury at the very end of the playoff game. So they needed someone to come in. They brought in a guard, Kevin Dotson, as well. And they spent money on Jonah Jackson when I was cursing at the Jets for not doing anything on the O-line. San Francisco spent money on Leonard Floyd and Gross Matos, a couple of defensive ends that could rush the passer because why not? And Seattle spent some money on Leonard Williams. So those are all the moves I saw. Best guys available still left: Tyron Smith, Kendall Fuller, Stephon Gilmore, Chase Young, Arik Armstead, Cameron Curl, Jadeveon Clowney, Julian Blackmon, Justin Simmons, Curtis Samuel. A lot of names out there. A lot of guys Marquise that can still sign up next year. What?
Marquise Brown.
You got Trent Brown, DJ Reader, Jonah Williams, Connor Williams, Kevin Zeitler, Steven Nelson, Dory Jackson, Devin White, Christian Fulton, Calais Campbell, Ryan Tannehill, Bobby Wagner signed today, sorry. And didn't he sign with you? He signed with the Commanders. So he picked up Wagner. KJ Osborne, Odell Beckham still out there again. Jordan Whitehead, J.K. Dobbins, who obviously is not needed in Baltimore anymore. Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Akello Witherspoon, Emmanuel Ogba, Donovan Smith, Sheldon Rankins. Those are the guys just ranked in the top 100 that are still available. That's what I got in the NFL, boys.
Okay. All right. We're going to move it over to the NBA.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of NBA points.
Yeah, locally, the Knicks. Sunday felt like something, a retro 90s type of game. They lose to the Sixers 79-73. You don't expect to see that.
The playoffs in the early 90s.
Then Tuesday, they get OG and Anunoby back, and all of a sudden, they still give up 79, but this time they score 106 and win. Hart with a monster game, 20 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists.
Was that his third triple-double in the last, like, month or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, Hart's been playing real well. Now comes a tough stretch here. They've got a four-game West Coast trip coming up. They're at Portland, at Sacramento, at Golden State, and at Denver. I mean, you're looking at if they can somehow get two wins out of that you'd sign up for that right now, wouldn't you?
In a heartbeat.
So you know, the Knicks, you know, at least, you know, with OG back, you know, maybe starting to get some of the health back, you know, getting some of the pieces back, and, you know, really give Tibbs a chance to figure out his rotation for the playoffs.
I agree with you.
Key thing. Anything else on the Knicks, Darren? Were you good?
No, not pretty much. The only thing I really talk about is just how tight this conference is after Boston. Boston has run away. Okay, Boston's the one seed.
They're up 9.5 in the Eastern Conference.
They're the one seed. And then from 4 to 8, where the Knicks are in the heart of, it's 2.5 games separate 4 through 8. So, you know, Orlando was flying. They lost 2 in a row. Indiana was reeling. Now they've won 2 in a row. So you just don't know how these teams are going to go, depending on what part of the schedule they go into. It's pretty much how it looks. It just feels like the West is the stronger conference than the East, top to bottom right now. So when these teams have the West Coast trip, you don't expect a ton. Milwaukee just struggled a little bit out there. You know, it's you know, East is going to be a dogfight till the end. Wasn't a good time for injuries, but there's never a good time for injuries. But if Brunson can stay healthy and OG comes back, and they're talking Mitchell Robinson still coming back before the season ends,
yep.
A lot of big things happening for the next year.
You mentioned that West, you know, like you said, stronger part of the conference, stronger part of the league right now. Denver won tonight to take over the lead in the Western Conference. They're up a half game over OKC, a game over Minnesota. Now, Minnesota, Karl-Anthony Towns had surgery on his meniscus. He's out for about 4 weeks. Should be back for the last week of the season. If you're Minnesota, they got used to playing without him last year. Hopefully that carries over that experience and they can figure things out. You know, with the season they've had, you know, if you're Minnesota, you're hoping to stay in that top three or four. You know, make sure you get that first round at home. And Dallas, I mean, just to mention his phenomenal play, you know, we mentioned it last week, Luka Doncic is now up to 7 straight triple-doubles. He had a streak of 5 in a row, 35-point triple-double snap because he only scored 27 on Monday versus the Bulls.
It's crazy, but, right? You know,
by far and away, I mean, MVP?
Yeah, it's hard not to. It's not hard not to see him as the leader. And right now, his team is the 8th seed, and he would be the MVP.
And then, you know, because you're looking, you know, you look at everybody else, and you go, you know, without Doncic, where is Dallas? They're out of the playoffs.
I mean, to be honest with you, you could probably say the same thing about Denver with Jokic. You know, I mean, you don't know, but you know, but Doncic is so good. The thing about the West that's so exciting is that New Orleans seems to be eating on the Clippers right now.
Doubles, you know.
Yep. No,
yeah, absolutely. But New Orleans is right there trying to catch the Clippers for that 4-5. New Orleans is starting to play really well. And 6-10 are separated by 3.5 games, with Phoenix on top, followed by Sac, Dallas, the Lakers, and Golden State. So anything can happen here in that West.
Well, we mentioned Boston's up by 9.5. Out West, 1-10 is separated only by 11 games.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Yep. Power rankings?
Sure.
All right, I'll kick it off. Number one, obviously, Boston.
Absolutely.
Said there. Number two, I'm going with Denver. They've won 9 of their last 10 here, 4 in a row. They seem like they, you know, they had a little lull a couple weeks ago, but they seem to have really turned that around now. 3-4, I took OKC 3, Minnesota 4, mainly because we're waiting to see the impact of Towns' injury. And 5, you mentioned them. I got the Pelicans. They've won 4 in a row. They've been playing hot. So I put them at 5. So, yeah, 4 Western Conference teams, 2-5. And Milwaukee on the outside at 6.
I'm very similar to you. I have Boston, Denver, OKC, Minnesota, 1-4. I put Orlando and New Orleans in my 5-6. Even though they lost 2 in a row, I thought Orlando was playing really good up to that point.
With the Towns injury, I made Minnesota my 6. So Boston, Denver, OKC, Milwaukee, and New Orleans. So pretty much we're pretty much right on track.
We're all very heavy West. And with good reason.
All right. NBA, let's move over to a little NHL.
Sure.
Darren, you want to kick it off?
And the Islanders make a run. Much to Kevin's chagrin. They win the games they need to win. They even get a couple of laughers out of it where you don't even have to stay up for the late night West Coast games, which I used to love 30 years ago, and now I can't even handle. Yeah. But this team is now in the playoffs at this very moment because they have one game in hand on Detroit, who also helped out by having a 6-game losing streak. So it worked out very well. You know, they lost to the Kings, but they won the 2 games they had to win, and they have one more against Buffalo. If they can find a way to win that, it was a hell of a road trip for this team. Really hard to not like the way they're playing right now. They're getting contributions from guys like Palmieri, you know, the lower lines helping out finally Barzal and Horvat, where somebody else is putting the puck in the damn net. And, you know, they didn't turn the puck over as much in their own zone in the last few games, which is nice to see. You know, the goaltending's always world-class. You never really worry about either guy back there. Islanders have made a run. And I hope they're able to hold on. I know you wanted to say that. Past the deadline anyway. It doesn't matter.
Please prove me wrong. Please make a run. Shut me up. I'd be more than happy to see this.
No, absolutely playing well. On the other side, the Rangers are still playing great. Actually, they don't miss it. The Rempe fact is pretty amazing. Every night, somebody wants to fight this poor kid, and he goes out there and fights it. I'm joking. I mean, he has been batted up, but every night somebody's challenging this guy. His shot on the devil play, Siegerthal, was definitely an elbow that he does. I know Ranger fans are crying. He didn't deserve to be suspended. I thought it was somewhat of an egregious hit. So I did think that the suspension was worthy. I know he's tall, but he's been playing hockey his entire life against guys the same height as Siegerthal. So let's not pretend that it's brand new that he's going up against a smaller player. That's a load of crap. But at the same point in time, he brings a lot of electricity onto the ice when he plays. And if you're a Ranger fan, you're loving watching this kid go on the ice every night. It's really what it comes down to.
My big problem, and I think, you know, Rempe being out there brings a different perspective. You know, something that we grew up with, you know, that enforcer, that guy was going to go out there and fight. My issue with Rempe was, kid, grow up. I mean, you go out there, two games against the Devils now, two game misconducts, both for blows to the head. The second one gets him to suspension. And then when McDermott tries to engage him to say, you're elbowing with my guy in the head, let's go. McDermott dropped the glove to go. And Rempe skates away and then starts waving at the Ranger bench. What the hell is that? You're a 21-year-old rookie. You know what? You want to start throwing elbows? You stand there and fight the tough guy on the other team then.
McDermott was talking crap the whole game, too. Let's not make it like he was a saint.
Oh, no. I'm not saying McDermott's a saint in this. What I'm saying is that, you know what? Once he knocked the Siegenthaler out with the elbow, you got – And McDermott drops the gloves to go after him. Come on, Rempe.
You got to step up. You got to fight.
And you can't just get off the ice, you know, waving at the Rangers bench. Get the
hell out. It's a little bit of trash talk.
Like, you know what? I would have had more respect for Rempe just to drop the gloves and take McDermott on.
No, I don't disagree with you on that. He should have fought.
And like I said, I'm not taking anything. I there's a lot of me that likes what Rempe's bringing to the ice. You know, we haven't seen this type of guy in ages.
It's fun.
And I hate the Rangers. And I and this kid is, you know, bored a little something different to hockey again.
Nah, absolutely. He's scrappy, and everybody's tough guy wants to fight him. So it's pretty cool.
Overall, I mean, Laviolette's got this team playing great. They're 14-2-1 in their last 17.
Just playing great hockey. Yep. They're shutting people down. You know what? Mika hasn't even played well. Zibanejad has not even played great. You know, Panarin's been the guy that's been carrying him. When Mika gets it going a little bit, and Kreider's got 32 goals, and you know what? This team can just put the puck in the net, and they can stop you. They're great on the back line. It's a complete team. This is a team that is a threat to end the New York drought and actually win a championship. We don't have many of those lately. This is the first team we've had in a while that has a chance to be a threat. I thought the Yankees were, but we'll get into that later. But right now, the Rangers look like he's a real threat.
This was my fear when they hired Laviolette.
No, you said it. You said it. They're going to be much better because of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the Devils, they're pretty much done. They just really haven't shown up. The one thing, like the Boston and basketball, Florida has really just proven to be the top team in the East. Yeah, they lose Ekblad for a couple of weeks, so that'll hurt them a little bit, but it's still such a complete team. They're so fast and they're physical, and they do a lot of things really, really well, and they get great goaltending. Bobrovsky's a proven goalie. It's going to be a tough team to beat. But the Rangers in Florida and Carolina, there's a few good teams up there on the top. We'll see what happens.
If we ever get a Rangers Panthers Eastern Conference Finals.
Oof. It would be great. Some great hockey.
Hockey.
Out West, Vancouver got hot again. They won four in a row. Colorado also won four in a row, so they're playing well. Nashville's been on fire for a while. Winnipeg's still hanging around. Vegas down to the 8th seed. You know, you don't expect that.
Yeah.
Hockey, they're never playing the same amount of games. It's always tough to tell where the points are a little bit. But, you know, we're getting into the exciting time of hockey. As soon as college basketball kind of ends, we get into NBA and NHL, and we see who's really there with 20 games to go and what we're looking at and what we have to look forward to, so to speak. But the West, Vancouver's been up there all season, as has Winnipeg. If you go by games in hand, Winnipeg could still easily be the number one seed in that out West. But right now, they're three behind Dallas, who's played three more games, and Vancouver, who's played two more games. So it's always tough to tell. But I guess that's all I have in hockey, unless we want to get to Power Fives. I'll kick it off since I started. Florida's my one. I have Vancouver at the two with the four in a row, the Rangers three, Winnipeg four, and I put Nashville in the five spot.
My top three are the same as yours. You mentioned Colorado. They're hot, winning four in a row, so I've got them at four, and I put Boston back in my top five. They seem to have righted the ship a little bit, and they've been good most of the year. So those are my top five. Dallas and Winnipeg right on the outside looking in.
I got Florida one, the Rangers two, Vancouver three. I got Winnipeg at the four, and I got Dallas hanging around in the five. You know, it's funny. These teams in the West keep going up and down, and Dallas keeps staying right near that top. I'm not saying they're in the top five every week, but they're right there every week. So Dallas,
Joe Pavelski is 106 years old. Still finds a way to put the puck in the net. Whatever. You know, he's American born. We watch him in the Olympics. We're happy for him. Go Joe Pavelski.
All right, we'll move over to some baseball. We had some bad news for the Yankees this week. Gerrit Cole, he's at this moment expected to miss 1 to 2 months because initial tests on his elbow showed damage to his UCL. The team is going to send him to a specialist. At this moment, it's a 1 to 2 month absence. However, as we have seen in many cases before, this is usually the first step before we hear the dreaded two initials of TJ. We will see if that is the case.
When you send him out to El Atache or however you say his name, he's like the new Dr. James Andrews.
Yep.
When they're going out there, you know it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't seen any damage with the UCL, but they fear there's damage with the UCL.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. So yeah, I mean, here's the whole thing. The Yankees either the yet, and then they lose out in the C-Steal. They get outbid by the Padres. You either have to sign – now you have to sign Snell or Montgomery, don't you? I mean, you just can't not.
Absolutely.
You have no choice. There's no depth on this pitching rotation. You said, I mean, Rodon's looked fine in spring training. Who gives a crap about spring training? I need someone that can go every night. Right now, Stroman's taking the hill opening day most likely. I mean, Stroman, we brought in to be a three or a four. Now he's going to be up there at the top. We need to sign one of these two guys. I would have to imagine it'll be Snell, because if they wanted Montgomery, they would have went out and got him already.
Do you think the Gerrit Cole injury actually spurred the Padres to pull the trigger on this trade?
Yeah, there was a bid by the Yankees. Yankees had a bid in on Cease, and the Padres upped it a little bit. Padres had a better system.
But at this moment,
not by a lot, but they have a better system, and they were able to give better prospects.
Yeah.
And that's how they got him, because Cease was cheap too. He's $8 million this year. He's not a lot. Next year it'll go up, and there's 2 years of club control left.
I hope Cashman and Boone aren't waiting to get results on Cole before they pull a trigger on something. I think something has to come now. It's got to be, you know, for us, it's got to be Snell and Montgomery, but you know, I don't know what they're waiting for. I mean, if they knew all this yesterday with Cole, right, as soon as they knew, aren't they pushing hard to try to make the Cease trade? Granted, maybe they don't have the prospects. I understand that. But, you know, once you know you're going to miss Cole for any kind of period of time, you gotta act with some urgency here. I don't like this at the moment. I'm not sure how you guys feel, but, you know, this is bothering me now.
Yeah, it's not good.
The sense when you read it is that Snell may be more gettable on that Bellinger and who else just signed last week? That, you know, 1 year plus two option year type deal. You know, short term, bigger money maybe, but shorter term.
Chapman?
Thank you. I was drawing a blank there. But that type of deal might make sense for a guy like Snell. You know, because I don't know if you want to necessarily lay out 5 or 6 or 7 years for Montgomery, like he's asking for.
Now, based on what's going on, and you brought in Soto and you retooled some of these guys, I don't know if they have a choice. They got to bring somebody in now.
I think Snell's the guy they have to bring in.
Well, last week Boris was a moron, and this week he's a genius because now he's going to get paid. He's going to get his guys paid. Last week, it was like, oh, what's Boris doing? We're so close to the season. Nobody's going after his guys. He's holding that money too high. And now, all of a sudden, at least one of them's going to get him. And I guarantee you, if the Yankees sign Snell, another American League East team will sign Montgomery. So he'll get both of his guys to get some money. Because now, because we don't know if Cole's going to be out until June or for the year. Let's be honest. We all think it's the year. I mean, because Cole pitches every day. Cole has been a stalwart for basically his entire career. So you don't expect the injury from Gerrit Cole. And now that it's happened, you know, they're saying 1 to 2 months, and you're like, that's a long 1 to 2 months, man. And, you know, it could be June, but you got to prepare for the worst, which leads me to believe that you just have to sign Snell, because you don't want to go the many years for Montgomery. If you like Montgomery, you would have done it already.
Yep.
I'm already
when you're talking, the elbow,
it's not good. Not for a pitcher. Always, And then there's always Bauer sitting out there, but we're sitting here watching 30 teams not make a move on this guy. There's another case out there that's still pending, apparently, on Bauer. I don't know if they know something. I don't know if there's collusion where they said, don't sign this guy and nobody wants the bad press, because you can't tell me everybody has such a dearth of pitching that nobody wants to throw a guy that could conceivably help them for the league minimum.
Especially a guy who's admitted that says, I just want the league minimum.
All he wants is the league minimum, and nobody's throwing a penny at him. So you got to assume the Bauer thing's not going to happen, which means it's Snell or Montgomery. It's not Lorenzen. I'm sorry. It's not Lorenzen. Kevin doesn't even want Lorenzen. Well, with his rotation, the Yankees can't afford to have Lorenzen. They need to go get Snell.
He could be the best part-time DH too, couldn't he?
He could be. I would take Snell tomorrow. I just think we're wasting time.
Yep.
As a Yankee fan, I'm already in the mode that he's done for the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to think about it. I agree with you, pal.
Any concern about Judge? I mean, I know the MRI came back clean, but, you know, you're talking abdominal strains already and spring training. Is this something that could linger?
Of course.
Yeah, I am concerned, Kev, but at the moment, unfortunately,
I'm worried about overshadowed by Cole, I know.
I agree with you, though, Kev.
Although Judge is a big part, we do have other offensive players. If Cole is done for the year, they have to bring somebody in. I mean, I don't know how they can't.
I already hate the bullpen. Now I need this. I hate the bullpen. Hating the bullpen strong. I hate the closer role.
Now you lose a guy who you know is going to go out there and give you 7 innings every fifth day.
To be honest, I lost the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
I lost the best pitcher in baseball. Not one of the best pitchers in baseball. In my opinion, I lost the best pitcher in baseball.
Right now, yeah. He is.
And you can't sit back and say, well, maybe Nestor bounces back. Maybe Rodon, he looks like he's thinner. Enough of this crap. Spend the money, Hal, you cheap bastard. Your father's rolling over. Your father's rolling over because you're a cheap bum. You're getting beat by the Mets last year and the Dodgers this year and all this other stuff on bidding. And you're going to lose Soto to the Mets too. So you know what? Stop being cheap. Spend the freaking money. You never worked a day in your life. It's not like it's yours. It's not like you freaking built it up. Cut the crap. Bring in the pitcher. I hate Snell. He pitches 5 innings. But you know what? It's 5 good innings usually. Bring him in. Enough of the garbage. Enough said.
Yeah, I honestly, at this moment, I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to make this move. And even if best case, you think you're getting Cole back at the All-Star break, you still got to bring a pitcher in. Yeah. I mean, best case is All-Star break. You have to still bring another pitcher in right now.
They dealt 4 arms for Soto. You may not have thought that maybe King was the only one you thought might make the rotation, but you had other guys in there like Brito. You had other guys in there. You had 3 legitimate guys that started games last year. So now you're trying to replenish that. It's like, you know, you haven't even recovered from that. Then you lose the ace.
Yeah.
Spend the money, Hal. You didn't earn it. You might as well freaking spend it. You never did a thing in your life to earn a penny. Go out and spend the money for the team. You cheap bastard.
All right. Darren, any other baseball points, Kev?
Well, just Jackson Merrill, the 20-year-old Padre, going to make the roster. Infielder that's going to play center field. Played a little bit last year in the minors, mostly in the corners, and now he's they moved to the center in the spring, and they have nobody else that can play the position because they dug Grisham over to the Yankees. So that's what the Padres are doing. And they got Cease today. They traded three top prospects, Thorpe, Iriarte, and Zavala, and Wilson, a guy that's in the pen already. And they got Dylan Cease, who will be part of that rotation, probably pencil into the three spot behind Darvish and Musgrove. And with King in the four, all of a sudden the Padres rotation looks pretty good. That's if these guys good. Can all pitch, if they all pitch to the back of the card, you never know. But if they all pitch to the back of the card, that Padre rotation is going to be pretty good. And even though they lost Soto, that lineup is still pretty solid when you have Tatis and Machado and Bogarts. You have enough bats in that lineup that can be effective. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Pods.
Yeah, we'll see what Merrill can do. I mean, the Stats saw the last 30-something years, there are two other center fielders who were opening day center fielders under the age of 21. Any guesses?
Ken Griffey Jr.
And?
Mickey Mantle.
Was it Trout?
Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones. I should have known that one. I screwed that one up.
But, you know, Hall of Famer and a borderline Hall of Famer.
Weird. Merrill's a stud.
I wish he was a center fielder by trade, but you know what? It's fine.
Weird little fantasy note. Jackson Merrill is a shortstop, by the way.
I know that. He'll be a shortstop outfielder by time game five of the season is. As there's a mad race to try to get this kid as late as possible, but not too late. It's going to be exciting. I guess the last thing is Quintana named opening day starter for the Mets, Kev. I know that had you.
The excitement of Quintana starting the opening day. Woo-hoo. I mean, there's no other choice than that, you know, based on what was happening last year. Sevy's pitched well this spring so far.
McGill's been great, by the way. He really has. McGill's been outstanding.
It's funny. I mean, take spring training for what it's worth. The Mets have the lowest ERA, lowest WHIP of anybody in spring training. It's spring training. I mean, they've actually thrown the ball pretty decently.
The thing about the Mets that I think people are looking at, and we'll do our baseball preview issue in the next couple of weeks. That offense, if some of those guys played in the back of their cards, is going to be just fine. If Marte can bounce back, if McNeil can bounce back. There's enough bats there. And if Beatty can show any of the promise he had shown two seasons ago, that lineup could be really good.
You know, you give Beatty the job at third. You give Vientos the job at DH. I mean, you've written off contending for the NL East. Best case, they're trying for one of the wild cards.
Yeah.
So you know what? Let the kids play. What the
big
hell?
Rumor, big rumor floating around today was that JD Martinez.
I don't want JD Martinez. I'd rather go with the kids.
You know, the funny thing is, and I agree with you on that, Kev, is that this is a team on paper is never going to be better than the Braves. For the last 30 years, you know, you're always trying to get to that level. Yeah. All you want to do is get into the tournament, That's it. And anything can happen because how many World Series have the Braves really won? They haven't won that many. It's not like they've dominated the World Series titles. They get in every year. The Mets are good enough to get in. The Phillies on paper are better also. But it doesn't mean that they will finish better, but they are better than the Mets are right now. But a third team can get in out of the NL East, and I think that the Mets have a legitimate shot.
I mean, the biggest thing for the Mets this week was watching Diaz come back in three strikeouts.
Yep, absolutely. Work.
Nice to have him back.
No doubt about it.
Looking good.
Absolutely.
And like I said, we're going to do our baseball preview in a couple of weeks. We'll give you insight all around the league. Make our predictions of unders overs, and you can bet the opposite way and really make some money.
No, actually, don't go the opposite way. We did really well on
over. We did well last year, I know. But let's not get greedy, Jake. Let's not get greedy.
All right. Darren, anything else?
Couple horse racing things, just because we're getting close to the Derby now. So the big preps have happened over the last couple of weeks in a muddy Gotham. Deterministic under Joel Rosario with Christoph Clement won it in the mud. He held off Just a Touch, who was the 8-5 favorite. Nice win on the Gotham. Get the 50 points. You'll see Deterministic in the Derby. Fountain of Youth down in Gulfstream. Door Knocker won the 5 favorite, one of Kev's types, you know. Can't place the $2 exact. One's over them, bro. The exact actually paid $7 for $1 because the second place horse was 25-1. Kev would have had one with all, and he would have had it all done. But Saez on board with Gargan as the trainer. The San Felipe Imagination with the Tory on board and Baffert beat Wind Me Up with also another Baffert horse. Imagination was 4-5, won that race in relatively easily, I thought. And the Tampa Derby Domestic Product in a really tight race. This is only 25-pointer with Gaffalone and Chad Brown. Four horses down the stretch, could have went anywhere. Domestic Product held on, pulled in between horses and won it. Really slow fractions. That race was 51 at the half, Kev. You don't see that in a Derby Stakes race. So yeah. I don't know what to expect out of Domestic Product. Slow fractions, but came it off the pace. So those are the recent preps. We're getting close to the Derby. We're 6 weeks out. So anything can happen, boys. That's all I got with the horses.
All right, Kev.
Golf. The fifth major this weekend, the Players. And everybody's favorite hole, the 17th, Estoril Grass. One of the favorites has got to be Scheffler. Defending champion. Nobody's ever repeated down at TPC.
I did not know that.
He's coming off the win last week at Bay Hill in the Arnold Palmer. Putting great off the win. And usually once you play well there down at Sawgrass, you play well in future years. I think Scheffler could very well be the guy to beat. I mean, the first two rounds, you've got some terrific pairings. You've got Hovland, Rory, and Spieth in one threesome. And the other threesome to watch is Scheffler, Ricky, and Thomas.
I also think Zalatoris is starting to play better coming off the injury, and I think Will could become a factor this year as well. After a whole year where he was hurt last year, he's been on the leaderboard the last couple of weekends.
Yeah.
He's a guy to look for.
So in between all the basketball coverage, I'm be flipping over to catch a few holes here and there.
Well, we're going to watch the 17th, and we're going to watch it as much as we possibly can because it's one of the funnest holes in golf outside of Waste Management and Amen Corner.
Yep.
It really is. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal hole. You just want to see pros hit it in the water like you would. And that's what we want. We want to see mortals.
I mean, we all want to play that hole once.
Right, we're going to play that hole once, Kev. Somehow, some way, we're going to get down there. We're going to play that hole, and we're going to pay $800 for a round or whatever it costs. And
I'm going to pop it in the water.
$800 for the round. Can I play $100 just to play 17, please?
And can you drive me out there? In the water. Can you drive me out there and keep me away from the alligators? Thank you.
Yeah,
but it's a hole that is just that much fun to watch. So yeah, a lot going on with hoops, a lot going on with baseball. Unfortunately for the Yankees now, and the Mets looking like some bright spots. So let's see what happens as they go into the season. The NBA, the Knicks are having the best season they've had in a while, so it's good to see. Hockey, the Islanders have resurged. The Rangers are playing well. A lot of good things going on in New York sports. A lot of good things going on in national sports. A lot of great players signing all over the place. And the hoopla is just getting started, everybody. The hoopla is just getting started. Gee, anything else?
No, that's it. I'm good.
All right, Kev?
Nope. We're good.
We're going to wrap this up and start it off by saying Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. Really? You got to be freaking kidding me. But we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren, along with Kevin, along with Gino, begging Hal to spend some freaking money that you didn't go out and earn. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren, Kevin, Gino. Talk about the wonderful, wild, wacky world of sports. Please download the podcast anywhere you can get a podcast. Gino has one last point. Sorry, Gino.
We'll be doing a special Sunday night show with the tournament selections.
You will have the brackets first here, and we will talk about all the teams, not just the one seeds that freaking Jay Billis wants to talk about, but we'll give you a little bit on every matchup because we care. And we are the Sports Kings from Queens. Hal, spend some money. Hal, spend some goddamn money you didn't earn. Your father did it. Download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, whatever you like, Spotify, whatever you like. We post a lot on social media. Share it. Please share it. Like it. Share it. Join. Become a follower. Tell us what you want to learn more about. You want more Islander hockey? Here we go. You want me to talk about boxing? We will do it. UFC, don't know much, but I'll learn it. But tell us what we want to know, and we will. What you want to know, and we'll go through it. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.